No, it's on. Okay, so I don't think it's necessarily a question of how you design the treaty itself, although I would basically, in any kind of treaty negotiation, look for a high degree of precision and a clear expression of what is the actual objective of the treaty. What do you actually want to achieve? Because you need baselines against which you can judge whether or not the treaty is functioning. It's really what happens once you have the treaty and states join it and begin implementing it. And there are several things one needs to think about. First of all, of course, in the case of the Chemical Weapons Convention, the preparatory process between opening up the treaty for signature and its actual entry into force, which on the surface of it was a process of trying to undertake practical preparations for how it works in the real world. But of course, it's also an opportunity to renegotiate certain aspects of the treaty, and that can go in different directions. So there's a risk that, in fact, what you thought you had agreed upon gets undermined in the subsequent processes of preparing it for implementation. But then if you look at the actual functioning of the institutions themselves, a lot of it is developing an institutional culture in a multilateral context that will actually maintain a strong support for the treaty objectives. And there are several things that one needs to think about. I mean, we've made that point several times already. At the end of the day, compliance is a political issue. It's about how political actors assess a situation and then either take action or do not take action, or disagree about what action to take. And so there is a question of developing a political culture within the political bodies of the organization that is well-educated, that understands the objectives, the norms of the treaty, and uses them as the yardstick for decision-making rather than other considerations. That's easier said than done. And at the end of the day, it boils down to the vulnerable question of political will. But it is an important aspect, and it is really a question of how the political organs, and that's also dependent on personalities and on the role that important countries play in this context. Are they putting the objectives of the treaty first, or are they putting other objectives first? At the side of the technical secretariat, in this case, in the Chemical Weapons Convention, it really is a question of protecting the integrity of the processes, the tools, the mechanisms that you have when you undertake verification mechanisms, making sure that at least at the technical level, you have a standard that you can defend that is generally agreed to and accepted. And so that the arguments that you have are not about the technical findings as such, but about what they mean in the context. Just to give one example, when the JIMS, the Joint Investigative Mechanism between the UN and the OPCW was set up to look into attribution issues in Syria, one of the things that did not really happen was a discussion of technical findings of that body with the countries most concerned in the process. So that you could, a mechanism that we had in ANSCOM, for example, where there were technical panels that would review technical findings before decisions were taken, and so there wasn't an argument about the technical findings, there was an argument about what to do about them. Whilst in the case of the JIM, we had increasingly arguments about whether the findings were acceptable or not, the technical findings. And that creates a situation where it is very difficult to then steer a political process in a cooperative manner. And it becomes easily, it turns easily into a situation that can be politicized. So, I would say looking at adaptability is important, but also looking at the integrity of the processes.